Welcome back, Missio family. Today, you'll hear from Arlen Lundberg, a guest speaker speaking on Moses. If you have any questions about Missio, you'd like to join a missional community, or you have any prayer requests, please contact us at missio.life.
Morning. Good to be here with the family, and there's more than just a few of my family here. Thank you for coming. They're filling up this side over here. Grateful for those who traveled from a long distance to be here. And for others of you this morning who have come, my name is Arlen Lundberg. My grandfather was a Swede. My dad obviously has my name. My mother came with the Germans from Russia. Odessa, actually in the Ukraine, so kind of interesting, like Cindy's, my wife's family. I'm grateful for all of the opportunities to have family connections. It's important to me. I was the first one to come to know Christ in my family. Not an easy thing to be the first to come to know him. Many ups and downs and mistakes and lessons to be learned. I don't have a great long spiritual heritage on my mom and dad's side. But I'm grateful to be here today to share with you and use my chalk drawing, and my goal is to draw you to Christ. Amen. Austin and his dry humor. Okay, thank you, Austin. So, my family tree and my grandmother's side actually goes back to the second time the Mayflower came over. Some interesting facts about that. Austin will appreciate my joke, so I'm going to give a joke. I didn't do it in the first service, but I'll do it this one. I think my grandma's family, one of my grandmothers, was at the Boston Tea Party. She was one of the old bags they threw over the ship. Enough humor. We're looking at Moses' life this morning. Moses, a man of faith, and how his faith was revealed. And we have a passage of scripture Josh gave to me to follow through on, and that's found in Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. If you don't, you can read it on the screen. It's probably easier there. And so we have, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. Now, I want to ask yourself, if you go back to that slide for a minute, where is faith in that passage? You ask yourself, where's faith? Ladies, you have a new baby. What are you going to do with that baby when the command is to throw him in the river? Where's your faith? There's some challenges here, okay? And so, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Another verse, where's faith in that passage? Who was he willing to identify with, okay? So, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Again, there's a choice there, and I appreciate Brian pointing out the need for surrender, and faith has that aspect of it, that you need to surrender at some point to one who's greater, one who's more powerful, one who knows more than you and I. So he said he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, which would have been Pharaoh, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Again, where's faith in that? By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Many aspects of faith in the book of Hebrews. This comes out of the context of Exodus chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. So Moses lived 120 years. I've got less than 20 minutes to cover 120 years. So I have quite a task in front of me to try to do that. So I was a doodler in high school. Back when the Vietnam War was going on, I would doodle tanks and soldiers and stuff and all of the things in high school. And when I gave my life to Christ at 15, so someone would say, well, how many years ago is that? That's 51 years of walking with Jesus. Amen? Amen. I have learned a lot of things. I've made a lot of mistakes. And those lessons are not lost in God's view. He has ways of using our mistakes. And Moses made one of the most monumental mistakes of mankind. That is to take the life of someone else. The interesting thing is, Moses gave the Ten Commandments, and one of those commands says, thou shalt not kill. Actual translation is to murder, to take one's life. So here's the man who killed somebody telling us, can't kill anybody. So it's pretty interesting. But it was God speaking through him, obviously. So the Ten Commandments were not lightly given. They were given to make sure that our hearts were right with God, and they could be summed up in the New Testament when Jesus spoke, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So we have Moses' life, and I'm supposed to try to draw the aspects of faith from Moses' life. So I'm going to begin with Moses' family tree. So he's an amazing guy. So now you can kill the lights, and I'll just try to stand by this if I can. So, yeah. And I have been given a gift from my children, an easel, and this easel lets me use lights to show what's going on. And my grandkids know that there's probably a surprise in here somewhere, because there's some things that are invisible. Our lives, there are things we cannot see. And I think when we look back and we look at Corinthians, we see the scripture saying to us, those things which are seen are temporary. That which is unseen is eternal. And so much of what we cannot see is eternal. And God has those things in mind for us. So when you think of Moses' life, his family tree is unique. And unique in that he's born an Israeli. He's a son of Israel. His mother gave him birth, and his father, and they looked at his life, and he was beautiful, amazing. When we think of our life and our beginning, we think of just birth in itself as an amazing thing. For those of you who have children, you know how amazing it is from beginning to end. And birth is important. Without it, we don't have the generational things that take place. And so my grandmother, when she came here to North Dakota as a homesteader, met my grandfather. She lost 5 children, 5 miscarriages. Had to be incredibly painful. But can you imagine the pain and the affliction of the Egyptians in this family tree? You would say, well, what happened to this guy? We threw him in the river. And what about, wasn't that Uncle Jim? Where's Jim? He's in the river. There would have been we are not exempt in America. Some numbers, I thank Pastor Rich from Washougal Community Church, reminding us that there's probably 72 million deaths in America through abortion. That's not the first time children have been killed. Go back to Egypt. We don't even know the numbers of children who were killed in Egypt, because of the oppression of a king called Pharaoh, who ran his life by fear that they would somehow take over and the children of Israel would ruin his life. His family tree was unique. He begins with being thrown in the river. No, put in a basket and placed in the river. For those engineers, you know, you don't pour concrete, you place concrete, okay? You place it, you put it where you want it. And so they put Moses in a basket and put him in the river in the right place. So ladies, ask yourself, you know, any of you who are sisters, ask yourself, you know, could I trust God to put someone in this position? And just happens to be in the front of Pharaoh's daughter. And so Moses is tree of his family. And I'm going to just roll a tree up here and see how it goes. Yeah, we'll just let branch after branch. Now, this is in the desert, so, you know, we maybe get our lumber from bushes, not trees. Yeah, so that's an old saying from Kilder, North Dakota, because there was a company there that sold their lumber, and they made jokes of it. Moses' tree was unique because not only was he thrown in the river, he was drawn out of the river, and that's what his name means, to be drawn out. And God takes our faith, and sometimes he has to draw us out of our circumstances. You know, his training is deeply Egyptian, and he has challenges in that. You know, here he is, a child of Jewish parents, and those Jewish parents have got to, they had to have taught him about how great God was. Which Old Testament names would have been evoked? You know, Lord God, is he truly the El Shaddai, the Adonai? You could go through the list of all of God's names and reminders of Moses that you really belong to someone who is greater. And so you and I, at some point, must realize, like Brian read this morning, we are made by him and we are made for him. Colossians chapter 1. We're made by him and for him. And it goes on to say in the next verse, which Brian didn't read, that in all things he might have preeminence, first place. Moses, I think, realized that early in his life. For those of us who have been raised in abusive and or addictive homes where there's been struggles and troubles, we may not have learned that early, we learn it later. But we need to know that Jesus wants to be first place in our life. One of my grandma's favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let him rule in your heart. That's really what it's saying. Let God rule in your heart. And all these other things will be added unto you. But seek first his kingdom. And so Moses had a very special opportunity to grow through all of the things that are happening. And incredible privileges as being an Egyptian prince. Wow. If you had a 100-yard race, Moses would get the start at the 90-yard line. He only had 10 yards to go. Why? Because of his privileges. He's a prince of Pharaoh. He gets to learn about antiquities. Gold. There was no lack of gold in his life as he dealt with things. Gods. He learned about all kinds of gods. His education would have been premier, excelling in all aspects of education. Military, learning all the military, mathematics. His MOS, if anybody in military here, your military occupational skill, you know, you rattle that off, he probably had more military occupational skills than most guys here. Why? Because he would have had to learn how to run the most powerful army in the world at that time, who used chariots and horses. He was trained in equine. He was trained in chariot. He was trained in maneuvers, trained in swordsmanship, in archery, probably also in spear. This guy was skilled, amazing. All of these things came about. And building, his contractor license. I don't know if he had licenses in that day. Stone, wood, rock, mortar, you name it. He would have had training. 40 years. I don't know. You know, some people talk about being in school a long time. You know, you just keep going to school and keep going. You know, this old lady in Beach stood up. Oh, Grandma Muckle. My kids will know this story. Well, Grandma Muckle's asked, Grandma Muckle, you're 100 years old. Can you tell the kids the most important thing in life? She said, I have learned. I have yet to learn. That's what faith does. I've never stopped learning in my faith. Still many things to learn. The family tree will teach you that. You need to just keep trusting. There's an old song, I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. You know, there's many ways in which God teaches us as we walk with him. And lessons that we learn, we may have to relearn. Yeah. You know, that's okay to relearn something. Not a bad thing. Have to redo something. So Moses is out watching his fellow family members. And it's interesting, I did some reading and research on this, that, and even in the book Prince of Egypt, it talks about, where was Moses when he killed this guy? Now, we can read the scripture, and it doesn't really say specifically. He was just out working. Now, one of the interpretations is he was on scaffolding. So he'd been up in the air somewhere. So, and Egyptians were familiar with scaffolding because the pyramids and et cetera that they built. So if he was up on scaffolding, let's just say a conjecture that Moses was up on scaffolding and this guy is beating a slave because he didn't bring the mud up to the top scaffold fast enough. You know, get it up here now. Why aren't you here? You should have been here yesterday. On and on. And just was railing on him. And this slave just couldn't get it there fast enough. I remember working in Dickinson at St. Benedict's, working at their new assisted living facility and nursing home. And there was a mud guy there mixing mud for the bricklayers. And it was 100 degrees outside. And he poured the water in the mud. And there's a tendency amongst concrete products to get hot in the heat. And so he has a mixer. This thing's mixing. And he's supposed to get a bucket of mud, get it up to the bricklayers. So he takes two buckets up as fast as he can. He gets back down to the mixer, and the mortar had set up in the tub. It was that hot out. It was stuck. And you should have heard those bricklayers. These are all union guys screaming at this guy down there. And I can't even use the words they used. He wanted more mud up on the deck. Get it up here and get up here now. And they said, what's your problem, you? And they just derailed this poor guy. Can you imagine Moses listening to that? Can you imagine being a mother standing there going, you're talking to my son? What are you saying, boy? These bricklayers. Moses goes up on the scaffold to set things in order. And what's he do? He does something that is unthinkable. He thinks he's doing the right thing, but he's doing the right thing at the wrong time. Moses took a position that only God has. He took another man's life. Now, we've done evil things in life. I've never killed any of you that I know of, anyway. Okay, we don't kill one another. We don't make that a practice. We do things, and we say things, and we probably act out on things that are not right. But we don't kill each other. And God was watching. He saw the affliction of his people. God had a plan. But Moses maybe wasn't trusting him. A mistake that he made led him to the desert. He, instead of trusting God, he knew if he stayed there, he probably wouldn't live. He ran. And he ran to the desert. Out of the range. Get out of the range. Move. Get somewhere else. Find a different place to go. And so that's what Moses did. And his life went from being a big to just small things. What's he doing now? He's watching sheep. Moses, of all the people that you could be and do and what you could accomplish, all your training, what are you doing? Just taking care of sheep. So let's ask a couple questions, okay? Open mic time, okay? What are some lessons we learn about trusting from Moses' early life? Okay, just throw out a couple ideas. Popcorn, give me an idea. What do you hear? What comes to your mind? What are some lessons we learn about trusting from Moses' early life? Include people or whatever. Help me out. His mom's faith to put him in the river. Wow. God did have a plan. Others? Any thoughts?
Even when we don't see it, God's people are working around us for our good.
Okay. Isn't it interesting that Moses' sister, when you read that passage in Exodus, Moses' sister is standing there going, I can find a nurse for you. Who is that? Well, his mom, of course, you know. Convenient, but necessary to keep him alive, okay? So let's ask another question, maybe a little more personal. How can acknowledging a mistake bring us closer to God?
You surrender that you can't kill your own.
Okay, you're surrendering, good. Help me with that a little more. You're surrendering to what?
Your
Anyone else? Come on. And?
There's a song by Matthew West that says, being honest is the only way to fix it.
Okay.
And God is the only one who can fix it. So if we can be honest and take it to Him, then we're going to be in a much better place after we've made our
okay.
mistake.
Okay. It's like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We don't always understand. But in all our ways, acknowledge Him. I mean, God is in it, even when we make a mistake. And it can bring us close to Him. And He will make your path straight, the Proverbs says. And so God does work in those things. Okay, so Moses is here. And there is, his time in the desert is, you know, I don't know. I've been in a desert a few times down in Lake Havasu area and other places, but it's not really that interesting after a while if you're there. And he's there 40 years watching sheep. And then one day he's watching and all of a sudden there's this bush out in the wilderness and it's just burning. You know, just flaming away. And it just keeps burning. And Moses looks at it. We're going to read the scripture in just a minute. And he takes a look at this bush and he's, wow, what's going on? You know, this bush isn't burning up. It's a strange sight. And I'm not a great Hebrew scholar, but there's a very interesting line of reasoning and thought and content in this passage. Because here's what is happening, okay? So Moses is tending sheep. And it's the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, in Exodus chapter 3. And he's led the flock back to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord, which is really another reference to God's appearance in the Old Testament. Fancy theological term means it's a theophany. God's appearing. God just appears to him. We have God sightings every day. A theophany is not quite the same as an epiphany. An epiphany means we've come to light in a situation where something, oh, well, this is, wow, the light went on and we see that God's working. But a theophany means we didn't ask for this. God shows up. And God shows up in Moses' life. He appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. And this word means it's a spectacle. He looked. What's this? What is this? Kind of a spectacle. This is a burning bush out here. What is this? Sometimes God has to get our attention through a spectacle. It's a burning bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see. It's a different word. It means to a sight to behold. It's something, it's not just a spectacle. I want to really focus on this. What is this? The questions are asked. What's going on? Okay? You know the questions? What's going on? Hey, what's happening? There's a bush that's burning, but it's not being burnt up. You could hear the sound of the fire. You could hear the and feel the heat of the fire. You have all of these senses that you could see it, you could hear it, you could feel it, and it's like, but what's going on? Something's unusual here. Bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, I mean, this is no longer just gawking, no longer just kind of pondering, just kind of saying, oh, it's a spectacle to see. Moses turns aside. He's really going to intently look deeply into what is going on. And God called to him from the midst of the bush. And this is really like how the Lord wants to speak to us sometimes. Moses, Moses. Double, meaning that's very emphatic, very important. Do not miss what is next to be said. And Moses responds. What are our responses? What does Moses say? Here I am. I'm available. Now, you could say that is simple to say, yes, but there's more meaning than simply just saying, here I am. He meant, I'm available. I am listening. I see, I hear, I feel, and I'm available. Here I am. Not the first time in Scripture where here I am is used. Whether it was Samuel in the temple, whether it was Isaiah also in the temple, it was a special place. And he said to him, "Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." It's a sacred moment in Moses' life. He's realizing that God has something for him to do. And his responses are there. He not only says, "Here I am." What does Moses do? He removes the sandals from his feet. And then God says to him, "I am the God of your father." Here's the family tree. "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have seen." Now here's God saying, he's seeing. God said, "I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters." Here's God's plan. "I have known their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and will bring them from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place where the Canaanites and all of the list is there. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Wow. Just a burning bush to already, there's going to be something happening. You're going to be my mouthpiece. And they're going to ask, "Who sent me?" I wonder why the New Testament is filled with "I am." Jesus said, "I am the way." Come on, the truth, the life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of," goes down the list. And God says to Moses, "I am who I am, the ever-existing, all-sufficient one whose holiness means whole, complete. You don't need to add to God. He is who he is." And he's sending Moses to the greatest power on the earth at that time to say, "Let my people go." For what purpose? So they can worship God. And he was in that process. So I'm going to have Moses kneeling. So here goes Moses. Okay. Oops. Black. A burning bush. Usually when we're by a fire, we don't kneel. We're standing there and trying to keep it going, but we don't kneel by a fire too often unless you're in the mountains cooking for people or something like that. Most of our fire pits are made so we can sit around and enjoy it and stand around if we want to. But Moses gets to the burning bush and he kneels. This is holy ground. Takes off his shoes. So let's get this all filled in quick. I'm going to put his shoes over here real simple. Let's fill in a few things underneath. I'm just going to put his sandals here. Put two sandals in his day. And quickly draw on this. Very significant, these sandals. I mean, they're not that the sandals are so special, and they could have been held on by multiple leather bonds. The thing is, he's in the desert. To take your shoes off in the desert is to put yourself in a state of vulnerableness. He's a military leader out of Egypt, trained in all of these things. Military leaders don't take their boots off when they go to battle. Not that I know of, anyway. In Vietnam, they made jungle boots to go through all kinds of muck and everything. Nowadays, they have even better boots. You don't take your shoes off. You don't take your sandals off. It's a state of vulnerability. You're in a desert, you want to run with no shoes on? Well, maybe you can get toughened up, but he's been wearing these, so he's not toughened up. It's an absolute state of vulnerability to take your shoes off. You know what it is to be in that state? Moses is surrendered. God, you can do with me what you want. I don't even have shoes on. Can't run. Not going anywhere. Shoes are meant for traveling. Boots are made for walking. You know. But Moses can't. He's staying where he's at. Because God has him exactly where he needs him. All right, let's get a couple questions that go with this. All right, let's just take a minute and look at these. What is your burning bush experience? Have you ever met God where you know he has spoke to your heart? Jesus said something, somebody said something to you. Because God speaks. He speaks through his creation. God speaks through his word. He speaks through Christ himself to your heart. And he speaks through the testimonies and the stories of other people's lives. As we're a story-formed church. We know things aren't always, they were perfect, but they aren't always perfect. We make mistakes. We find restoration and redemption. Jesus does those things in our lives. So what is your burning bush experience? Anybody want to share just a brief sentence? If some of you have shared already, maybe some of you haven't. Any burning bush experiences here where you've met God? You just know God met you and you needed to change. Things had to be different. There's a surrender moment in your life. Anyone? Pretty public meeting, I know. But this is our tradition here to open this up for you. It's okay if you don't want to share, but well, let's take on number two. When God speaks, how do we respond? How do you respond? How do we respond? What should we do when God speaks to us? What?
We should listen to what he's saying.
We're listening to what he's saying. And then what do you do with that?
You obey.
You obey. Real test of whether I'm really going to serve him or not is, am I going to be obedient? Okay, good. Anyone else? What are some other ways you respond? Your heart. What? That obedience builds, doesn't it? It builds, and if you're listening to respond, you can respond. Okay, what else? Anyone else? Okay.
Reminded of God's faithfulness.
Respond to his faithfulness by saying, thank you. You know, we worship. I have some doctor friends who always talk together. I've bounced this off a couple people in this room. I said, they said, when we get to heaven, let's be the first to bow. I said, why do you stop just bowing? I think we get to heaven, I'm going to probably be on my face, just on the ground, saying, wow, I'm in the presence of an almighty God who made me for himself, who redeemed me through the blood of Jesus. I've given my life to him. I've trusted him. I've tried to walk in obedience to him. And I want to be used of him in a mighty way. I'm going to be on my face before him and say thank you, because it's not about me. It's about what he's done. So good. So faithful. Amazing. In my family, had I not come to Christ, I've been walking with Jesus for 51 years. Had I not come to Christ, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that I would be probably an addict. There'd be all other problems in my life that I can't even go into. Thank God for his redemption. For what Jesus did when he gave himself for me. And I'm bought with a price. I belong to him. And I want to do that. Okay, the last aspect of Moses' life, he became a mediator. The children of Israel needed someone to lead them out of the desert. And there were promises for the mighty people of God. God said, I am with you. God said he would never leave him nor forsake you. Like Hebrews chapter 13:5 says, boldly I can say, God is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And Moses returned from a place he was afraid of to stand before a mighty king and say, let my people go. Following instructions, he gave the Ten Commandments and then some to give the people of Israel a way to turn to God and to follow him. To turn to God, to follow him, to be a part of his plan and his purpose for that nation. Moses. We have a couple questions here too, quickly. What reasons or excuses do we use for not following directions? Okay. Uncomfortable. Guys, you ever put something together? Got the instructions. What's your reasons? What's your excuses? Okay.
I think it's interesting that the first thing he said is I'm available, and then when he started talking to God, he's like, but I can't speak, and I can't do this. He's like, I'm available, but
okay.
I've got all of these issues that I can't. Do we have to work?
And verse 11 says, who made your mouth? God is telling Moses back, who made your mouth? Who makes those who can see? Who makes people who can't speak? Who makes people who are blind? I do. And it's my business. David Ring is a guy that worked with Jerry Falwell for a number of years. He has cerebral palsy. And even though he had cerebral palsy, he made it his effort, the utmost, to serve his Lord Jesus Christ. And he would say with a broken tongue, I have cerebral palsy, but I'm serving Jesus. What's your excuse? Wow. Someone who's crippled, can't walk, right, is serving Jesus. So what's my excuse when I have a whole body? So why does it take faith in God for us to follow him? Why does it take faith in God? Okay, there's a couple hints in this by the... Okay, good. Somebody else? Help out. And? The unknown. How about the unseen? The unknown and the unseen. And we can't know. We can't see far enough. So it takes faith in God for us to follow him. Why? Because we are limited. God is unlimited. So trust him. What a great God. He tells us to trust him. He'll be with us, help us through these things. All right, so as some might know in this room, there's a little trick here. Okay, we need all the lights killed, Austin. Yeah. So Moses is by the burning bush. Yeah, yes, he is there, but he's not alone. And God is speaking to him. And the specific interpretation in theology would be this is a theophany. It's God's presence. He's speaking. It's an appearance of the Lord. Like Jacob's life when he was wrestling, as Pastor Josh said, no different than Abraham when he was offering Isaac. The Lord spoke to him and said, you know, Abraham, you know, wait a minute. Okay, so that was, again, God speaking, and a picture of something that was very special was revealed there. It's also revealed here. And so... off with that, and then I've got, you know, it's a change for Moses. From the heat of the desert, you know, and all the wonders of Egypt and everything that went with that, I mean, Moses was going through a massive change in his life. He's on his knees, no shoes, open and vulnerable to what God had in mind. Why? Why was he this way? Okay. For one reason. It was who was speaking to him. It was the Lord Jesus speaking to Moses, telling him, you do this. When Jesus speaks to you, you want to follow him. You want to be part of his life and part of his working. And Jesus says, come follow me. Will you? Jesus says, take your shoes off. Be vulnerable. Will you follow him? Trust him? When things don't look really well, will you claim a promise? Will you not fear? Moses was afraid, but when he returned to Pharaoh, it was amazing. He was not afraid. He returned with great courage and followed God's directions. Will you follow his directions for what he has for you? Such a blessing in store for those who will follow him.
Thanks for listening, Missio family, and we'll see you again next week.